And now, Morris League Media would like to present to you, in studio live with hosts Dante Morris, Dominic Morris, and me, Todd Sullivan, Let's Talk Sports. That's how we roll. Welcome to MLP number 11. Nick started everything off today. That's right, we're in Morris Media Studios. Gentlemen, how we feeling?
Feeling real good, feeling real good.
Feeling exuberated, like Dante liked to say. Just got off the field, got a good victory today, so I'm feeling good.
Yeah, it was quite impressive, you know, a little nerve-wracking having the Green Sox never missed the playoffs since the Morris League has taken place. And, you know, for a while there, I thought it just might happen. We started off a little slow.
Yeah, they got up on us 2-0 in the first inning, and... you know, I thought it was the same every season, you know, how we get down. But, you know, we came through, we came back in the later innings, and, yeah, we came out on top at the end. But they started off on us with some walks and some good hits. And, yeah, Dragons was a very good team this year. I thought the record didn't really show what kind of fight they had.
Yeah, they played us real well, and, as you guys know, every time Todd is out there, he's been 2-0, so just, you know, put that on record. But, yeah, Dragons, hard-fought team, and that goes to show, you know, all our teams in our league, all the games was pretty much similar, and this was a similar game, but I'm glad we came out with the victory.
Yeah, we were scrapping out there pretty bad. I know second base, Mr. Ito was having a rough event today, not only offensively, but especially defensively. Kind of got to his crawl today, but uniquely so, being, you know, how things did turn around, it seemed that base running was the big difference in today's game.
Yeah, kind of like how what Dante said, tied out there 2-0. A lot of runners in movement, a lot of hidden runs, button runs, a lot of things just to get the defense off their foot, you know, catch them slipping, and you know, that helped out a lot. It was a couple double steals. It was a couple of First and thirds.
A lot of first and thirds
that really put us in the right position to win. And, yeah, I think base running right there was the key, especially when we have, you know, runners on. We did a real good job of, you know, moving them over and getting them in. And I stole 2 bases today, so I'm cool.
Yeah, but uniquely so, being that, you know, it seems like for years past, the Green Sox have been a team that offensively we never really had to worry about anything. But this year was a different ball game. You know, pitching was hit and miss, hitting was hit and miss, offense was hit and miss. So to be able to scrap and come back and make the playoffs is all good. But that's not where the opportunity stops. You know, we're here. We got to change our mental attitude right now.
Yeah, we just got to get back to, I think the key is small ball. You know, always... runner on, get them over, button runs, hidden runs, things where we can manufacture runs. Because, yeah, like you said, our hitting's been sketchy all season. You know, we really haven't had nobody really consistent that was just driving the ball, getting us in. So we got to rely on using our smarts and taking what the defense is giving us. So I think, especially going into, you know, the 3-seed, which is a 5-game differential between us and the Green Sox. I mean, us and Slugs. We're going to definitely have to take a small ball. And I think it should be a good matchup, though.
I really like our top of the order, though. You know, AJ brought a good addition to the, you know, beginning of our inning. And I think if, you know, you 5 guys, you, Ito, you know, Kevin, AJ, if you guys all just be on the same page, I think it's going to be hard to stop, you know. So I like what he brought to the presence, and we got 3 leadoff guys that's at the top of our order, give us a little bit of variety, and I think if we all on the same page, we could beat the Slugs.
Yeah, we proved that today. You know, a couple of times I made a trip out to the mound, not even to talk to the pitcher, it was to set up the defense. You know, we called that back pick, you know, check third and second base. Work to a T, you know. So when you, you know, write it up and it comes through like that, ain't nothing, no better feeling than having a bang bang play go on like that happen twice.
Yeah, and altogether it was 3 times because we had a pick back at first too. So we caught Dragon slipping 3 times on the base pass, and that was huge too, because each one of those times it was a momentum switch. It was either 1 out, you know, that made it 2 out, and like the next pitch it was strike 3, you know, Dylan would come strike out that batter, and really switched momentum and we carried that on, you know, offensively too.
Yeah, the pick came from the coach. First base, I gave Ryan the thumb flip. You know, we did it twice. Once was close, second time we got it. So, you know, what's that showing me is the guys know the game, but it seems like they need to be told.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you don't need to be told. Just go out there and do your job. You know, set yourself in position. I mean, today nobody can come around on any of the fastballs. And, of course, you know, if you're a smart player, off speed, you're going to go with the pitch. So, you know, defense, the whole game, we had this, you know, the switch on. Our right fielder was hugging the line. I mean, I know Nick's out there. He can cover all the ground in the world. But still, even with the lineup right there, it seems like everything was going right to our defense today, which was real nice. And Dylan, phenomenal game pitch. As soon as he realized he was coming out of his load early, you know, everything just came around, and he just battened down the hatches, and he was hitting the spots. The umpire was in it. You know, his zone got small and big the whole game. I mean, every pitch on the knee for them seems like it was a strike, and Dylan was hitting the knees all day. And, you know, I wasn't behind the plate. He kept calling, oh, that's in, oh, that's out. But, hey, a pitch on the knees, anything like that near the plate, I think should have been called today. So, it was, you know, to see Dylan battle through that and keep his composure was a great sign.
Yeah, Dylan, all year, that might be one of our MVPs because we could always rely on him when he got the ball in his hand. You know, he always solid go seven, give us some solid, some solid innings out there in the mound. So that's something that's always crucial, and, you know, by bringing him in, gonna need him in for, you know, next week too.
We gotta go with him next week. You know, that's our ace right there. You know, he's our most consistent pitcher. And if we want to see it to the championship game, we gotta get through the playoffs first. So we definitely gotta go with him. Gotta get behind him on defense. But I noticed we had a different team out there. You know, when Ty's out there, it seemed like our players actually listening. You know, yeah. Ain't guys running around third base or trying to make a steal with two outs. You know,
well, the problem is everybody trying to be a coach though. Everybody don't. Everybody give each other advice, and they don't listen to their own advice, and then we end up running the outs on the base pads and stuff like that. And everybody trying to watch the next guy, and we get out our game real easy that way.
And that's why I took control. We had Andrew, one of the older guys on the team, you know, a little slow with the feet. And first pitch, I put the steal on, and he thought it was the hit and run. Thank goodness he ran hard, but it definitely was the steal. Just knowing the catcher that was back there was always dropping to his knees. So to have the slowest guy on the team, you know, putting in a steal situation, I turned around and I said, you know, I just proved it to you guys that if you just pay attention, you know, we're going to be able to do this. But what really got to me today is how we were asleep the first two innings.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we came alive, and then we got cocky. I don't understand the team, how you can go through all those emotions and, you know, you're behind and you're like all down and out, and then you make a comeback, you get your head in it, you get, you know, two very consistent innings and everything seems like we're playing the Green Sox way, and then we get a 3-4 run lead and everybody's just back on their heels. You know, I think that's the trouble with this team this year is it's like, you know, you got to be aggressive and attack the whole seven innings. You know, regardless if you're behind, if you're ahead, you know, to give up like that, I was a little bit frustrated today seeing that happen in the fifth, bottom of the fifth. With the playoffs coming up, you know, we got to give props out to the Twins. They battled all year long. They were able to take the number one seed. So, you know, look out for those guys. They're sitting pretty right now. So to be able to be the three spot and make it to the championship game is one thing, but to go ahead and win, it's really going to show you what type of dynamic we have on our Green Sox team. Is it something that we need to happen?
Yeah, oh yeah, let's get on the Cardinals run. But I remember we have preseason predictions way back in like late August, you know, about when we first had the four teams in, we had the characteristics, and we rated ourselves, I think for the most part, the consistency, we rated ourselves one, we rated the Slugs two, and the Twins three, so it was a little backwards, but all three teams are in a mix now. And what do you guys think of, you know, the dynamics of what you think the strengths are in each one of the team, and what you think is going to be looking forward to next week?
Well, I think the Slug are very at the Twins. It's the team to beat right now. You know, they sitting. You know, we got one game. They pretty much, you know, somebody got to come in and take it from them because they got all the momentum. So I think the Twins right now, their best ability is their pitching and their ability just to make contact no matter what pitcher.
Miles that's pitching?
Yes. I guess that's their ace. You know, it's him pitching and them. They always make contact no matter what. They always will hit the ball. They don't really have that many strikeouts, so they'll put the ball in play.
Well, the thing to anybody's advantage, whether it's the Green Sox or the Slugs who make it to the championship, is, you know, the Twins, I think right from the beginning of the season, they expected to be there. And they felt that, you know, they were the team to beat. And which is all and good. That's the way you need to think to make sure you get your way through the season. But it seemed to be just status quo for them all year long. And they seem to be taking a little bit, you know, relaxed. And now that they're there, I think that's just, that's what's going to continue. As you know, we're supposed to be here. We're supposed to win. So regardless who they're playing, whatever team is out there, I mean, the object is to get up and get up quick. And instantly you'll get in their head. Because that's the one problem with the Twins, is if they get mad, if they get frustrated, even when they're in the game, it seems like mistakes and long innings come about.
Yeah, that's almost how we beat them a couple weeks ago. You know, we was up. It was a 5-6 ball game. I saw one guy putting his cleats in his bag and was ready to leave, you know. So they was already giving up. You know, I think if we'd have had a little more solid defense, we would have took that game. But
here's a funny thing, though. Twins, Slugs are 1-4 against the Twins. We're 1-4 against the Slugs. And we're the only team that battled the Twins, you know, by one run loss, you know. But every time the Slugs play against the Twins, it's either a 10-run rule or something like that. So I think the dynamic is a little different because the Slugs, I guess you could call it, they beat us. You know, pretty bad, I guess. But when we played against the Twins, we only lost by one run each time we played a minus that game where Miles hit that, like, 3-run home run. But so I think that once we get there, once we get to the Slugs and say we do get past, I think we know what to do with the Twins, too. So I think we have nothing to lose. You know, we got a chip on our shoulder. The regular season was not looking like how we went until, you know, we thought we were going to be on top. So we got this big chip on our shoulder, and we straight in attack mode. You know, we have nothing to lose. We got our targets on the Slugs, and I think we should take it to them this Saturday.
Yeah, the Twins' weakness is our strength. So, you know, I'm not looking forward or nothing like that, but I think it'd be a great opportunity. I'd love to have that situation happen. But to be honest with you, you know, with Dustin and how well the Slugs have been, you know, traveling and doing what they need to do down here, you know, game point. It's time to put on. It's like these two teams that are sitting 1-2 in the seed, you know, came in as a team into our league. And, you know, we're representing the Morris League. Green Sox is representing what we've had from established in 2007. So it's time that they realize it's time to play Morris ball, because the way when we play that, it seems like we're in control more than half the game. So, you know, I would like to see how we match up with the Slugs when we play at our best. But I think if we do get there, the outcome is our strength is their weakness. So I think it'd be a great game. But regardless on who makes it to the championship, props to all the teams that have participated this year. And I just can't wait. I think that Saturday is just going to be filled with highlights.
Yeah. Hoping to play too, though. You know, hoping to play too. But Slugs, this is how I pictured it, though. You know, I pictured, you know, us playing against the Slugs. Like, this is, like, back in April when we had the 3-game series against them and things like that. I want us to get back to that brand of baseball, you know, when we all communicate and everybody was on their toes, everybody was ready to play. So there's a lot of highlights, you know, a lot of highlighted players on both ends. And, you know, let's just take it to them. I'm ready to play ball, you know, ready to play ball. I just, you know, can't wait.
All right, so I know right now we're looking for a solid field to make sure that the fans are going to be comfortable for our championship set. And so we'll be letting everybody know, you know, where that game's going to be, and we'll be looking forward to all the Morris League fans coming out and playing. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to get some chips on everybody's shoulder. You know, hey, Slugs are coming, going to be traveling down, and they want to play 2 games. They don't want to waste no time. They're going to come out. So as a coach, my only concern is Game 1, Green Sox Slugs. I'm not even concerned about Game 2, and I don't even care if there's a Game 2. Right now it's Game 1, mano y mano, and it's time to battle, fella.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think what we got to do too as a team, we just got to remember all the times we played against them. Let's remember the strengths, the weaknesses, you know, how they beat us, you know, what happened when they got down. You know, us as coaches, I think we got to realize that, and then we got to put our game plan on the table and make sure our players know what the game plan is and stick with it. Just kind of like when Ty, when you told me how to play the Twins a certain way, we stuck with that particular game plan, and they couldn't produce nothing. So I think we reanalyzed how we play against the Slugs. We pick out a certain way to play. We let our players know, make sure they execute. And I'm pretty sure we'll be able to win this game.
More importantly, what I noticed from just my first year being on the Green Sox, the last 2-3 years, you guys turned into a whole other team in playoffs. You know, all the way back from 08, you know, when y'all played against the Tigers, or the Blue Team. And, you know, y'all was fourth, you know, y'all was last, but it's like a switch turned on where it was just relentless. And even going back to playing against Davis, one-run ball game, and to the last 3 years, 10 and 11, where y'all just, you know, shredded through teams. So it's just like, I'm looking to get that playoff mode where y'all just relentless, and you know, I'm looking to turn that on, because I noticed that of all the teams, the Green Sox, no matter what the regular season record was, when it's in the playoffs, it's a whole different team.
Now, we got new players on the team, but we got three guys that we won and to share with four championships together, so we definitely got experience with Green Sox baseball on our team. I'm pretty sure that's going to come out of them when we play next
year. Did y'all play last year in the playoffs? Was it the Flying Squirrels or
no, I believe we beat the... That was a while ago. We played you guys in the championships.
Right. We had to beat the...
You guys beat the Rangers.
We beat the Rangers in 8 innings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was mad after that game. And then we beat, I believe it was the Flying Squirrels. It could have been another team.
It wasn't Express, because Express was out.
They were out.
It was a Flying... It had to be a Flying Squirrels,
yeah. Yeah.
But all I know, it's playoff time, so if it's me, regardless on who there, that Miles is getting a free base every time he steps in the box. It's just the way you work it. You know, you get Miles out there, he's not going to be able to run. He's going to get frustrated. Other guys are going to try to over-excel, yeah. You know, for that. So, you know, regardless, you know, Miles, telling you right now, you're going to get a free pass. You better be prepared. No swings from you at all. I know the boys are smiling, but that's just the way you got to look at it. I mean, I'm guarantee you the way, you know, Dustin coaches, he's, you know, the one game that he actually was in competitive with the Twins, you know, who shut him down? Miles, you know, so I think Dustin's going to realize is, you know, go ahead and just give him a free pass. But, you know, I've said it before, you know, every time those guys bring a team into the league, many games, Dante knows we would be behind by several runs, and all we have to do is, I said, let's create a situation where we get them mad. Sometimes I would do it as a coach by slowing it down, or a situation would occur. And once they get frustrated, they're a totally different team, and I think they're coming in a little bit light, and as soon as they get pressured, they'll collapse. I mean, that's just, I mean, I'm not trying to be harsh, but that's just how it's been rolling with their team in our league. They dominated pretty much 2 years ago when they were in the league playing, and they barely made the playoffs. So that's just how that team works. So people just need to learn, baseball is a thinking man's game. If your head's in the game the whole time, you're mentally prepared, and you have a set goal as a team, the goal is very easy to accomplish. But once you become individuals and start tensing up, you know, you're not going to have any chance whatsoever. So playoff time, I think that's, you know, what you guys were alluding to about the team. It just seems that the guys just hit crunch mode, you know, when it comes to the playoffs. And, you know, they're not taking second chances. They're not, you know, going for, you know, being over-aggressive defensively. Offensively, that's one thing. But I think, you know, when it comes to our defense, you saw today, every inning there was a struggle somewhere. And I'm just glad that's out of our system, and that's what it takes, is to let it go, get it out of our system. And playoffs was a great time, because now we're going in, you know, several steps up. We're the motivator team right now, and it just seems like, you know, the guys realize that, you know, we got to stay right where we're at. No fooling around, no messing around. It's that the fourth and fifth inning was Green Sox baseball, plain and simple. And those are the two innings. That's how we have to remain playing. It's just like that. We'll be just fine.
Can't wait. I can't wait till next Saturday. I've been thinking about that all week.
The cages. Get some work in. I'll be ready for Saturday. But it should be fun. You know, this is the best part of the year. You know, for our fall league, the fall playoff series, where we do playoffs and championship. It's always exciting. It's always, the games are always tend to be close. So, no, regardless of who moves on, this is just a good time for fans to come out and see some. No, this is, I guess this is the only baseball in town right now. You know, so to see some nice, exciting baseball in November, you know, come check us out, you know, MortisLeague.com for more information. And also, we'll be posting things on our social outlets as Instagram, at MortisLeague for Twitter, and Facebook.com/MortisLeague up on Facebook. And make sure you like our fall ball page. We exclusively post playoff related and season related things on the fall ball Morrisley page on Facebook.
And from a league standpoint, we'll actually have Morris Media out there covering the game. We'll have them out there for our playoffs and our championship game. We'll have an interview for the championship team. And also, a selected team out of this playoffs will be featured on the Sack Dugout show that's going to air. Or it's actually going to tape on the 28th. So, for all the players out there listening, there's a lot riding on these three teams. Will be featured on the show on November 28th on the Sack Dugout show. So, it should be very interesting. And, you know, regardless of how the season turned out or what happened on Saturday, I'm real proud of how the league been going. You know, this is our 13th season, our 5th year, you know, our 5-year anniversary, our 13th season with all spring, summer, and fall ball going. And I really like how we came along as far as competitiveness in our fall baseball. You know, the games have been real close. We have real matchup teams, and we have a variety of different competition that all came to our league. So it's a test to you gentlemen. You know, appreciate all the hard work that you guys did, and, you know, we put together a good product this year for sure.
Oh, well, thank you. And also, we don't want to forget about our two interleague teams. We want to say thanks to Reading as well as the Sac Aces for participating. It was a lot of fun this year. Hopefully, we can lock them down for a full season, full set. But hey, you know how we roll. We have our predictions practically for everything. You know, Nick's been rolling with it, you know, today. But, you know, forget the predictions. You know, our regular season has come to a close, so let's start giving our props. All right, so right now, gentlemen, you know, listen, you know, biases aside, you guys were able to see everybody. What's the, you know, top two defensive players and top two offensive players? Who are we looking at?
Okay. That's a good question right there. I'm going back to my mental state of all the games. Offense, definitely, I have to put up there Miles Vargas on the Twins. He's been lighting it up. You know, against us and against pretty much all the teams, you know, consistently, you know, for the extra base hits and the RBIs. And I'll say the other guy have to be, I don't know his name, but he's like on the top list on our stats page for Santa Cruz. He's the first baseman, lefty. He's been, he's like their three hitter. He's been smashing all season too. So I'll say them two for offense.
All right.
Yeah, I was thinking on defense.
Stick with the offense. Go around.
Offense, I will have to give it up to Miles. Like, hit two bombs against us. He's just been swinging that well. So I give him one of offensive players. And I look right here to the Dragons. You know, I give it to Basil. He was a center fielder for the Dragons. He played against us. He had a base hit against us, but he was hitting everything to the right side. But yesterday and all year long, he's been real consistent, seeing the ball well, hitting base hits, always getting on base. So, we give it to Basil and Miles.
Yeah, I was thinking of Basil too. Of course, you know, Miles, you know, he's just been stellar this year. He was the guy that every team dreads to pitch against. Basil's he's a good one too. But I just don't want to go with pure power. He's a gentleman. I'm bad with names, but the Dragons, shortstop to last.
AJ.
Yeah, I'll give it up to him, man. You know, I think he's just a ball player. He loves playing ball. He doesn't let anything bother him. And, you know, the year before he struggled a lot, you know, a lot of mental mistakes. And then to turn it around like that, I just want to give him just due. So I'll go ahead and throw it out there to AJ. So I'll give that to AJ and Miles. You know, AJ probably didn't expect it, but he deserves it. But that leaves the hardest spot, because let me tell you, every team, this whole league is just defense.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you can. I mean, I know there's every team, you know, there's errors and there's been a lot of fluke stuff going on. But I've been impressed with how defense flowed, you know, for all six teams this year. It was kind of nice to see, it's maybe one bad inning, but it's six solid innings for the rest of the game.
Oh, yeah.
So who wants to start off defensively?
Sheet together. Yeah, mine too. I'm on the stats page. I was trying to clear up the name for the.
Yeah, we gotta give him due. Click it up.
Yeah. So I'm going through the names right now because I didn't want to not mention his name right. But you could go.
Okay, I'll go.
Okay.
And I don't even have stats names or anything like that because I think there's going to be a, you know, several surprises. And hey, there's no undue bias here at all. But I'm just saying for what he's done on the hill and behind the dish, Ryan Okamoto for me got defensive player. There's no bias. He's just solid, rock solid this year. I mean, he's always been the man behind the dish. But to come through for us on the hill the way he did, I'm giving my defensive guy, Ryan Okamoto, straight up from the Green Sox. But defensive too, I kind of like the middle of where the slugs were at. They seem to work real well together. But I'm going to have to lean towards that second baseman. It just seems like he knows how to control the middle out there, and I can't remember his name from the slugs. But if we can get his name, we'll definitely give his just due. But if I could give it to two guys, I'd give it to the middle infielders for the slugs. You know, so the second baseman and Ryan Okamoto.
I think this one of the second baseman's name is Patrick Mill. I think he's a middle infielder. But the guy I was talking about for offense is Rob Steele. Like, he's been, every game, he's been hitting the ball real hard. If it's, you know, not at somebody, it's in a gap somewhere. If it didn't land, it's hitting hard somewhere. But for defense, that's kind of a hard one. Do pitching count as defense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to make it an all Green Sox thing because I like Dylan, you know. I like Dylan as a shortstop, but when he was on the mound, he was real alert. He made a couple nice double plays during the course of the season. And it might sound biased, but I'm going to choose myself because I had 4 outfield assists this year. I wish I could have, you know, got more, deep ball catches, but I thought that, I was shooting a lot of guys out this year. So I'm
you're right on the ball, Nick, because I was going to go Ryan and you, but then I know the people out there that do listen are just going to go, Coach, you pure bias. But we know how you roll, Nick, out there. If it wasn't for you maintaining center field, you know, regardless if you're the Dragons or the Green Sox, teams don't have a chance. But I couldn't throw both my players out from the Green Sox, you know, defensively. But if you actually look at the stats, it would be Ryan and Nick out there holding it down behind the dish and out in the middle deep. So, but I'm going to stick with the second baseman because I know he worked hard all year long. So, you know, my top two, you know, will be Ryan. And do we get his name yet? I forgot you told me.
Patrick Mill.
Yeah, Patrick Mill. All right, you had plenty of time to think, so you better come through and make us look good, Tay.
All right, I go with Brandon Vargas of the Twins. He plays shortstop and third base. Pretty good, solid player. He had some solid plays against us. I think he was solid. You know, one of the part of the reasons why they keep winning because he's solid on the right side for them. And then secondly, man, I was going to say, don't say yourself because I was going to say you, man. I was like Dominic Norris, you know. Out there in center field, you know, you get the balls that everybody thinks for sure double. When the balls popped up, I just start running in because I already know you got it. So, yeah, as long as you hold down center field, you know, probably one of the best, definitely the best in the league out there in center. So.
Well, even with Ying 10 feet off the line, he was still playing left gap.
Yeah.
And to me, that mentally tells me that he knows he can get there, you know, because he wouldn't do it if Nick couldn't get there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, which was great to our advantage because people were trying to hit to that spot,
yeah,
and they were just slapping it right out there towards Ying.
See, that's what I want to tell our pitchers. Like, if our pitchers know what type of outfit we got, they could just throw the ball. Like, I think that's kind of been one of our struggles. Our pitchers try to put a lot on their shoulders. They're trying to strike people out. They're trying to hit their spots. But if you just let these guys pop it up, even in the gap, like, we'll have that coverage, you know? So, you know, some of our pitchers on our team, man, if we just pitch the ball and just let them pop it up, you know, we catching that all day.
Yeah, because that was funny. I mean, the Dragons did something real good today because the whole game, first pitch fastballs, the whole game, I know there was one, they called it, you know, maybe two, but two off-speed pitch on the first one. And then, you know, as soon as I call it, we walk out there and it's change-up, curve.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I don't know if they heard me. I don't think they did, but they went ahead and switched it up. But what happened was is their pitcher got frustrated because it put him in a switch. And all of a sudden, okay, my curveball's not hitting. I was getting ahead of all the batters with my fastball, and then all of a sudden he was aiming instead of throwing.
Yeah.
And that's when we went ahead and started loading the bases and moving everybody around. So I think they did the right strategy, but it affected their pitching quite a bit. So, you know, hey, fall ball, regular season has definitely come to a close. You know, you got your number one seed Twins, number two seed Slugs, number three seed Green Sox coming into our playoffs next Saturday. It's going to be a lovely day for a two-set game of baseball. But I'm sure, like me, you guys are already thinking coach-wise and strategy. You know, your lineups checking in. What do you guys think? How'd you like the lineup today?
I loved it today.
I love the lineup today.
Then we keep that same lineup. We're gonna be missing a couple guys, but if we put the right guys in the spot that can replace them, I think we'll be good. I like our defense as well.
Yeah, and that's why you're down. I mean, I know what you mean and where you should be, but I think with what you do for us, being down there at that sixth spot, every time you were coming up, you had RBIs in position. So, you know, don't press, just come through with the job. Everything gonna be just fine. But footwork. Let me ask you a question, Nick. Did you see the footwork that Tay had over there at third today?
I saw him doing the Cupid shuffle.
Yeah, two backhands. You see that?
Yeah,
you couldn't get in front of the ball. I'm just razzing you right now, but you just trust your skills.
I'm thinking I'm at short because I'm thinking like over at third, I don't know how much time I got. I'm thinking if I just catch it, set my feet, and throw it. Like I'm thinking mentally, I'm at shortstop that I gotta catch it and throw it. But on the two plays I made. You know, I caught it, I had a lot of time, and I rushed the throw. And on the last one, I just need to grip it right, get in front of it like you said, and then give a nice hard throw.
So oh, even with the bobble, you got the guy out.
Yeah. I'm talking about the other bobble I had, the little backhand.
Oh, you need to get some stick on your glove or something.
No, he called it right. He's playing it like a shortstop. His foot's down, and he's playing that backhand to get the ball out. But, you know, skill set wise, he's all right with that. But if you get over there on third, you got to get those hips there so you can square around with that long throw regardless.
Yeah.
But from where you were at, you know, I couldn't see it. You know, we were talking about Dylan and the type of pitch, and the guy was on the knees all day long. Were those balls inside and out?
Some of them was. From my perspective, all of them were like they could be called strikes, but I know the umpire and I know his zone. His zone, in my opinion, is always consistent. Like if it's a little high and up, he'll call it both sides. So I'm very familiar with the umpire. I thought he did a real good job of keeping it consistent. He has a tight zone, but I thought it's like it's a known tight zone, and which I'm cool with, you know. But I thought that definitely that he had some good pitches. What I noticed though, whenever he have two strikes, he place pitches, and he always goes inside, and we wasn't getting inside pitch all day, inside call all day, and he'll rely on, you know, getting them in the hands on the 0-2 counter, then going high and away. But I just thought that, you know, if he just started working that zone a little more, meat of the zone, that wasn't hitting anyway.
Well, that's me. You know, I told Ryan, this team, you got to set them up inside. If you look at all the guys' hands, any inside pitch, they dip their shoulder. That's the other reason why a lot of bloopers were going to right field. So when you have guys that can't, that utilize their upper body to control their hands, you got to stay inside. That's why Ryan called a phenomenal game. Even on some of those off-speed pitches, calling those inside, you can only do that against the Dragons. I'm not calling out the Dragons, but that's to set up that high fastball. We switch that up real good, you know, in those no balls, two strike counts. A lot of people were coming up in the box thinking it was going to be off speed, and we were coming high fastball a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Once they thought high fastball, then we switched it up again and went, you know, with the off speed stuff. So we really kept the guys off balance when we got ahead, and that was the unique thing about Dylan. He got 0-2 and 1-2 a lot today.
He did.
You know, and that's just great. It makes it a lot easier for the middle to do their job. With Ito having a rough go out there at second base, at least he was still positioned. I mean, he went ahead and he did what he had to do. So he made up for, physically and mentally on the other side, and putting Andrew over there who, doesn't know the first. He did a great job over there. He just doesn't know first base on where to do. You know, Kevin was putting him in the right positions. The only person I had to control was Ying. And then the one time I make Ying do two steps, I took him one step away from catching that pop fly. And I think if he would have caught that pop fly, it would have made his whole season.
Yeah. He's been doing good, actually, out there.
He had a couple good snacks, though.
We played him there yesterday. Saturday.
Yeah. Yesterday.
Yesterday. And he did his job out there. He went back on some balls, and that's kind of one of our consistent outfitters out there.
Well, I hope the coach, you know, Alex over there at Burbank is a little bit happy because he's going to be getting a lot better ball player from me working with him out there at Burbank. He's changed a lot. I'll be working with him tomorrow, get him back in his routine and getting him to keep that hip a little bit close so next year we can use him on the hill a lot more. And I think he's going to be an up-and-comer next year. And speaking of up-and-comers, what we got happening in these playoffs, you know, and MVP. So if anybody's out there, when you guys come and attend our game, we'd really like you to like our Facebook page and hit us up and let you know who do you think as fans deserves the MVP for our championship series. So make sure you pay attention when you're out there in the seats.
Yep. So once again, it's been another great episode of MLP. You can find these episodes on iTunes. You can also find them on morrisleague.com. Click the podcast link. And look out for more questions and all the new happenings all on social networks. That's at Morris League on Twitter, at Morris League on Instagram, and facebook.com/MorrisLeague. Let's do it big.
All right, and before we go, we just want to make mention, you know, of one of our loved ones lost, Darren Stowe. So this championship game is going to be in honor of his name. So, brother, you know, we got your back. We're out there. So for Dante Morris, Dominic Morris, here's looking out. Thank you.